Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio with Tanya and Janelle and Tara and myself, Sandy. And last week, we finished the lesson in John 7, 53, 8 through 11, about Jesus' forgiveness to the woman and also to those that condemned her. You know, this just shows God's beautiful gift of grace through Jesus. Mm-hmm. So today we will be in John 9, 1 through 41.
Yeah, it's a long chapter, 1 through 41. Typically, when we do a storytelling of a passage, you don't use a passage. You try to stay in the shorter range. But in order to get the context of this whole story, I wanted to keep it together. But we'll break it down over, you know, the 4 weeks. Literally, when I was listening to this, I go to BibleIs.com and I listen to the passage over and over. It's 5 minutes and 41 seconds long.
Really?
With the person that reads it through their recording. And I love BibleIs.com. If you have never used it, it's incredible because you can go in and you can listen to the audio version of a passage. And that's what I do to help hide God's word in my heart. But as Sandy said, we had just finished up the adulterous woman. And in chapter 8, John, as he wrote the passage, felt fit to put in about Jesus talking about that he is the light of the world. And so it isn't a coincidence that this circumstance should follow the test of the Pharisees trying to trap Jesus and trying to reveal his character as not of God. What ended up happening is it revealed that they weren't and that he was.
Mm-hmm.
That we come upon this circumstance and the disciples have that ruminating inside their heart and mind. And then all of a sudden, as they're walking, they see this blind man before them. And that's today's passage. And my apologetics Bible calls this the sixth sign. Mm-hmm. It's the healing of the man that was born blind. So as Jesus and his disciples were walking along, they questioned him when they saw this man blind from birth. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Well, Jesus looked at them and he said, well, neither. It wasn't his sin and it wasn't his parents' sin. This came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. For you have to understand, we have to do the work of the one who sent me because night is coming. And as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. So he said these things. He then bent down and he spat on the ground and he took mud, formed it in his hands, and put it on his eyes. And he said to the blind man, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so the man left. He washed and he came back seeing. All the people that knew him had seen him being blind all his life were in shock and they asked, who is this man that is begging? He's not begging anymore and he can see. Some said, oh, it's not him. And others said, well, it looks like him. And then some of the people were saying, it's got to be. And the guy kept telling them, it's me. It's me. I'm the one. Well, they said, well, then tell us how did your eyes get opened? And he answered, well, a man named Jesus made mud. He spread it on my eyes. He said, go wash in Siloam. So I did, and I received sight. And then the people asked, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And so they took him before the Pharisees, and they were very upset because the day that he did the healing, that Jesus healed him, it was the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees again asked him, how did you get your sight? Well, he put mud on my eyes, he said, and then I washed, and then I could see. And the Pharisees are like, this can't be. This man's not from God. He did not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, a sinful man can't do this. They can't do signs like this. And so a division began to happen amongst the Jews. Mm. And they went to him again and they said, what do you say about this man who opened your eyes? He answered, he's a prophet. Well, the Jews did not believe this about him until they went and got his parents and they asked the parents how he received sight. Well, his mom and dad stood there, and they asked him, is this your son? Was he born blind? How does he see? And they were like, yeah, this is our son. Yes, we can answer. Mm-hmm. He was born blind, but we can't tell you how he sees. We don't know how his eyes were opened. You'll have to ask him. He's of age. You speak to him because he can speak for himself. Well, Scripture tells us that his parents did this because they were afraid of the Jews, because the Jews had already made a decree that if anyone confessed Jesus as the Messiah, they were banned automatically from the synagogue. So that's why the parents said, you need to ask him, because they didn't want to be banned. So a second time, the Jews went to the blind man and they said, give glory to God. We know that this man's a sinner. And the blind man said, well, I can't answer whether or not he's a sinner. I don't know. But I do know this. I was blind, but now I see. Mm. Well, the Jews then asked him, what did he do to you and how did he open your eyes? And the man said, I already told you, but you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? And they began to ridicule him. You're that man's disciple, but we're Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses, but to this man, we do not know that he has and where he's from. Well, the man said, this is an amazing thing. You don't know where he's from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and he does God's will, God listens to him. Mm-hmm. This is throughout history. No one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. But if this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. And then they shouted him, you were born entirely in sin, and you were trying to teach us, they said. Hmm. And so they got him, and they threw him out of the synagogue. Well, Jesus heard what had happened and that they had thrown the man out. And so he went and he found him, and he asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked, that I may believe in him too. And Jesus answered, you have seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking to you. And the man who was blind said, I believe, Lord. And he worshiped Jesus. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who see will become blind. Mm. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, we aren't blind too, are we? If you were blind, Jesus told them, you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Mm-hmm. May God honor the telling of his word. It's a long passage, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So many twists and turns. And okay, this is what we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do as we go through this, I immediately saw that bearing testimony is really important. Mm. I was blown away at how much so. It just immediately started popping out. And I think so often when we have been in an encounter with the Lord, that as we begin to bear testimony, we begin to see the same things that happened to this blind man. So as we're getting started, I want us to be thinking on two things. This particular segment of what we're starting in this series now with Walking in Discipleship, I'm calling this one Character Builds Hope. Mm. And I want us to always be thinking about the character that is what he is seeking to develop in the disciples. And I want us to be thinking about how these circumstances are building hope into the disciples and into the community as the community is watching, and how for some of them, when they choose the character that Jesus is, they choose the character that Jesus is not teaching, how it causes them to have no hope. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so that's our mindset, what we'll be doing now, from now on, as we are going through and reflecting on these lessons. Okay, when you first have an encounter with Christ, what would you say is the very first thing that might happen that people can see that you've had the encounter?
I always think of how your life changes.
They okay. see that you're not doing things you used to do, and they're okay. like Pastor Mitch always used to say, a changed life is a changed life. I love that.
It's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple.
The way that you view yourself and others, too, I think like it adds humility to your perspective on life when you are come face-to-face with God and like how powerful and wonderful and awesome he is versus how insignificant you are.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I think for me, I'd say it's the presence of hope.
Mm, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like someone that didn't have it, and then you can see there's like the seed of they're holding on to. They just needed one strand to grab
yeah.
hold of.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I know that when I first came to know Christ, I wasn't aware that the light of the world was inside me. I had no idea.
Mm.
I had no clue because nobody taught me. That's something I learned years later. Okay, I just knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And then all of a sudden, here I am, this person with the light of the world inside me. And I had no clue that it would be evident to those around me that that was inside me. And this blind man, what would you say was the first thing that they noticed about him after Jesus healed him?
Could see.
I was going to say, the obvious. Yeah,
it was right. extremely
yeah.
obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. And yet they questioned it.
Mm.
So much so that they could look at him, and just because of the fact that his eyes were opened, no, not him. It can't be him. Well, it is him. It looks like, no, it's not him.
That's back to the judgment.
What was so obvious, they weren't even willing to
right.
see.
Denial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we first come to know Christ, we too will have circumstances where what is so obvious, we will have people that will not be able to see it.
Absolutely.
I had a circumstance recently where I was sitting down with somebody, and it was obvious to me this person didn't have the light of the world in them. And you know, it wasn't in judgment or anything along those lines. It was just, okay, wow, I can tell. And I began to ask questions, and the person was, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, wow, pretty honest about it. And so I began to explain what God did for us and that he loved us, that mm-hmm. yet while we were sinners, he sent Jesus to die for our sin. That my one little sin that I think is so not important is the same sin that put Jesus on the cross.
Right.
And yet he died that I might have eternal life. Would you like it? Yeah. It was that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my mind away. I'm sitting there going, and as I was preparing this lesson, I'm thinking, that person has no clue what happened, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But a transformation is starting to take place. And so I think part of, in this circumstance, it's going to be for that person to even believe what occurred in them.
Mm-hmm.
With the blind man, it was pretty obvious because mm-hmm. he got his sight.
Right.
But for us, when it happens where it's just in the heart and we say yes,
mm-hmm.
we may not be aware. And so as I was going through this, made me think we really need to be praying for people as they believe in Christ for the first time
mm-hmm. you know,
to see.
Absolutely. And I think sometimes, you know, we need to mentor them because I felt like I had a little bit of mentoring, but not a lot. But it's so important
right.
that they recognize that, you know, that you have changed because people do help you through that. We just
so
can't say, well, thank you, welcome to the family, and then have a good life.
That's exactly
especially
right.
when you've been living it a certain way.
Right.
And seeing it from your own perspective.
Yes.
Right.
For however many years that
yes.
is. To have
yes.
a different, whole different, it takes somebody coming alongside of them and helping them see God's
right.
fingerprint and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, yeah.
And that's exactly right.
The thing about sight, too, is that it's a really personal thing. Like, if I can see or not see, I'm the only one that will know. What other people observe is
good.
How I respond to my sight or lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
how I act in light of that. So, you know, if I'm stumbling around, people can tell that I'm blind. But if I'm walking correctly and straight and can see, like I can know where I'm going, people can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way spiritually.
It is so
it
good.
Is.
It's so good. And that was such a great what you just said because a week ago we did a DECA prof at Grace University, where we had cookies and icings, and they got to create a cookie that looked like their favorite professor. And as they were sitting, I mean, we had a room full of like 14, 15 people. Everybody in the room that were men thought I had brown eyes.
Hmm.
My eyes are not brown. What color are they?
They're like green.
They're so green.
Wow, I didn't even know
that. It was hilarious that all these boys were like, oh, yeah, you got brown eyes. They were like, somebody said, what color do I do Tara's eyes? What's her eyes? And I'm like, they could not tell the color of my eyes.
Wow.
And because they're colorblind.
Yes, boys are colorblind.
And I had
really?
No...
Some
I
of them
had,
are.
A oh. lot of men are. Mm-hmm. I had no idea until we were in a situation where their eyesight was challenged.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And that's what happens right here. They're all in a situation mm-hmm. where their spiritual eyesight mm-hmm. is being challenged.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's all about this man who is blind at birth, but ultimately it comes down to the question that the disciples asked. And the disciples asked, who's in sin? And Jesus' answer was, neither. Not the man and not the parent. This happened for one reason, and it was so that he could do what?
Bring glory to God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is that how your translation reads it? Because that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to see what the different translations had to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine has a footnote on it. It says something like, a solemn charge to tell the truth.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the works of God could be revealed in him.
Which is to bring the glory of God. Yep. And as I was studying and preparing, and what Janelle just said, because the question I was asking myself is, how do I bring glory to God? And the very first way I can bring glory to God is to speak truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first sign of the acts and works of God in me, mm-hmm. is that I start bringing truth into the circumstances. It's really funny because we only have about a minute left, and just made Sandy jump. It went really fast. Mm-hmm. We have not yet even begun to talk about the testimony of what this man did, and that because he, in order to display the works of God, he was appointed to be blind at birth so this moment could happen, mm-hmm. so that as Jesus was teaching this lesson, his testimony would be born. And what we're going to find is that he began the process of speaking truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as he spoke the truth increased his faith.
Mm-hmm.
As each time he did it, we were going to find next time when we come back that he gets bolder and stronger to the point that he's like, he then begins to ask them questions as he is doing it. And it's the same truth that we can have for us, that if we speak truth into it, our circumstances, that will bring faith, which will bring hope.
Mm-hmm.
We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless.